This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Let's bring in Tom Lugerbill.
Lift it, load it, grade it, grind it, move it, haul it, rig it, dig it, crane works, rental works, yeah! The big dog's got it.
ESPN's Tom Lugerbill on the Roundtable is brought to you by Crane Works. Lift it, buy it, rent it. The big dog's got it. And now, Tom Lugerbill.
He joins us each week on the Michelob Ultra Hotline at this time. Lugs, what's up, man? How are you?
I'm good, guys. How are we doing? Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
An awesome Thanksgiving. How about yourself?
I did, too. Took the whole family out west to see the Lugerbill clan and then flew all the way back east to do South Carolina and Clemson.
Yeah. The Lugerbill clan was probably more exciting than South Carolina and Clemson. That was a little bit of a blowout. It's hard to gauge this Clemson team. They're about to be a four-touchdown favorite over Virginia, but dang, they look really good.
They are really good, guys. And they are, and listen, I understand the Dabo rhetoric is getting tiresome, and I even agree with that. But for when you really peel back the layers, when you really study them, everybody wants to use this phrase, complete team. I had them number two going into the weekend. Coming out of the weekend, I would have no problem putting Clemson number one. I think they are that good, that talented, and that deep all across the board.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Clemson is the best team in football right now. We brought up Utah earlier in the show, and Lugerbill, I've been a big proponent of Utah this entire season. I think They're really, really good. And I even think in a one-game situation against one of the elite three, this defense from Utah can give them some problems. Do you ultimately think Utah takes care of Oregon and gets in, though?
I do, as long as LSU beats Georgia. That's the key to this whole thing for both the Pac-12 and the Big 12 champion, is if Georgia wins that game, it doesn't matter what happens with the Big 12 and the Pac-12, because I think two SECs are getting in, then you'd have Ohio State, and certainly you'd have Clemson. If that doesn't happen, LSU beats Georgia, but the Big 12 wins with Oklahoma, the Pac-12 wins with Utah, I think Utah gets in because they are a superior team on the defensive side of the ball. They can effectively run the ball. Their quarterback is playing lights out, and they can overwhelm you in the trenches. They're the best fit for a four-team playoff because of where their strengths are and where Oklahoma's weaknesses are.
Tom Lugerbill is with us. He appears on the Michelob Ultra Hotline, and he's talking about Championship Saturday with us. You mentioned those weaknesses for Oklahoma. This was a defense that we all thought maybe everything had been fixed at one point in the season, and then about mid-season, some of those old cracks started to show. Do you think they've repaired those cracks a little bit, or is it still a broken defense?
Well, they are improved. We all have to acknowledge that. They aren't a dumpster fire the way they were the last 2 to 3 years. They have gotten better. Statistically, in many areas, they've gotten a lot better. But they have not gotten much better in red zone defense, and they are not a very good football team when it comes to stopping the run. Now, in that conference, you're not outside of Kansas State, who ran it right down their throat, and Baylor. There's not a lot of teams that are lining up and truly trying to run it. Iowa State would be another one. They gave Oklahoma all kinds of fits as a result. So you kind of see the trend there. What I think is when we started to see some of those cracks mid-season, and then, you know, you give up 41 in back-to-back weeks, and then you give up 30, and then you give up 24, and it's all on the back half of the schedule. That tells me that their depth is waning. They're struggling to put forth a lot of depth and healthy bodies, particularly in the front seven, to be able to hold up for the entire gauntlet. And I do acknowledge their improvement, but they're not in the same conversation with the other teams. And they weren't the last couple of years either. And as a result, they haven't been able to win a semifinal game.
Look, Jake Fromm hasn't thrown a pick since October 12th, that loss against South Carolina, but he's regressed as a quarterback. I think when you watch him, I mean, we can blame wide receivers all you want. He just doesn't look like the same guy that maybe can take command of this offense. What do you think's going on with Jake Fromm, and does he bust out this week against LSU?
I think I could make the argument, has he ever been that guy? You know, when you look at the first few years of his leadership, he was surrounded with such great players, experienced, veteran, proven players across the board. And then heading into this season, you had far more question marks around him, and I think more of the offense has fallen on his shoulders, and that's not when they're at their best. I think he's at his best as a complementary player, a player that when they're ahead of the chains and they're running the football effectively, and they've got a couple of proven guys that he can rely on, that's when he's at his best. No Lawrence Cager. George Pickens is going to be missing for the first half. We don't know the health of DeAndre Swift. I think that makes it worse for Jake Fromm because now more of the pressure goes on his shoulders, and that's not how that offense is built.
ESPN's Tom Luganbill is with us, and he joins us each week on the Michelob Ultra Hotline, courtesy of our friends at Craneworks. Just look for that big dog on Birmingham skyline there at Craneworks, just off the Red Mountain Expressway. LSU, the closest they have faced to this Georgia defense is Auburn's. And Auburn's got a really good defense. Georgia's is better. What do they do that could slow down Joe Burrow? Nobody has done that. Nobody has slowed the guy down. What could they do that slows him down?
Well, Georgia's better statistically. I think Auburn is still the better defense overall. I think they have more dominant players at some key positions. And a lot of it has to do with winning up front, being disruptive, getting Joe Burrow off schedule, having him throw into tight windows. You know, I had the opportunity to see LSU and Clemson on back-to-back weeks. Mm-hmm. And the biggest difference between Trevor Lawrence and Joe Burrow is Joe Burrow is not an accomplished, consistent deep ball thrower. When you look at Joe Burrow and you look at his success, it's all between 8 to 15 to 17 yards. Everything else vertical, the ball drops on him, he loses steam, he loses power. That's not where he's at his best. Guys have to make a lot of adjustments. So I think you've got to force Joe Burrow to have to throw into tight windows under duress. And Georgia's got the opportunity with their front, to your guys' point, the closest thing to it has been Auburn. Auburn was able to keep the score down because they were able to win at the line of scrimmage. And I think that's the whole key for Georgia, to keep the score down. If this thing turns into a track meet, Georgia's in big trouble because they're not built to go back and forth with explosive plays that they would need in the passing game to keep pace with the LSU offense.
I want to go back to Fromm for a moment because JD, after your response, wants us to ask you, does he struggle to step into his throws? Is that it?
Well, he's never been a guy that's been a big, strong-arm guy. He's been a what I call a rhythm and timing player that anticipates throws, knows where to put the football. But I think some of that has been lost because the trust that you have in a Mecole Hardman, a Terry Godwin, a Jeremiah Holloman, who's no longer with the program, some of these guys that had been around and had been so productive for him, they had this relationship where you could count on where the guy was going to be all the time. I don't think he feels as comfortable in that regard. So I don't know if it's so much about not stepping into the throws. I think it might be more trusting that the guy's going to be where he needs to be as I anticipate the throw. And I don't think that's been on the same page as it's been the last couple of years between Fromm and his target.
Let's assume the top three win their championship games. Utah wins by 7. Oklahoma wins by 21. If you're one of the committee members, who do you put in?
All right, now say that to me again.
Okay, so let's assume that LSU, Ohio State, and Clemson all win. Utah beats Oregon by a touchdown. Oklahoma beats Baylor by 21. Who do you put in?
Oh, well, on the surface, without knowing how the games have been played out, I would probably lean towards Oklahoma. But if you were to sit there and tell me, okay, well, Oklahoma won by 21, but they kind of fiddled around on offense like they've done the last 3 to 4 weeks, and they got 2 pick-sixes on defense, and that's one of the reasons why there was a big difference, I think the committee would have to really peel back the layers and watch how those two games played out, not just read the box score.
All right, Luke, before you go, we had a caller earlier that wanted us to ask you this in relation to Alabama, and you can include Auburn as well, so we'll cover all our state listeners. The early signing day is coming up on the 18th. Your service at ESPN has Alabama 1, Auburn 8. Do you see a lot of changes in that? Are those pretty well locked in there?
Well, I think Alabama doesn't have too much to gain right now. Their numbers are limited. I think what their hope is that they come out of the early signing period and they head into January with a 6-week head start on the 2021 class and then just monitor what everybody's doing. I think Auburn's got a little bit more room to add, not only between now and the early signing period, but maybe a spot or two post-signing period that once they see how all the other dominoes fall, They can really hone in on a prospect or two and spend all of their time on a small number in the month of January.
All right, he is ESPN's Tom Luganbill. More on that over the next couple of weeks. We got another visitor, too, before that signing day gets here with Luganbill. All right, Luganbill joins us each week, courtesy of our friends down at Craneworks, Lukes.
Well, that's exactly right. The Craneworks Rental Works Division is ready to serve you with a full line of rental equipment to meet all of your needs. From a do-it-yourself project to a large industrial or commercial job, the big dog's got it. Need an extra hand? Rental Works offers something the other guys cannot. Qualified operators for all your equipment. Visit Rentalworks and Craneworks.com for more details.
Lukes, thanks a lot. Have a great week.
All right, guys. Be good.
All right, take care, or weekend, whatever. Michelob Ultra Hotlines, where you find Luganbill, a superior light beer with low calories, carbs, zero fat. Live life to the ultra.